Blog Talk Radio.
John L. Brown, author and filmmaker, native of Lake Charles, Louisiana, is taking his expose on race relations in America, Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, to another level by doing a documentary entitled The Mentally Blind in America. The documentary will open the viewer's eyes to homelessness, poverty, hunger, the real rules of the criminal justice system, and other poverty-related issues that challenge underemployed, unemployed, and homeless people in American post-recession. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary, will enlighten people of color and people in poverty on how to restore their credit rating and expunge their criminal records. The Mentally Blind in America, a documentary coming this fall. Real people, real stories. The Mentally Blind, Open Your Eyes, a documentary on race, poverty, the recession's aftermath, and more. Follow our post on Facebook's The Mentally Blind in America. The Mentally Blind in America.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show, Uplifting Communities, Louisiana. Well, I'm sorry to tell you guys that that Miss Carla can't be with us today. Right now, she's at another event, but guess what? I have another host for you guys, and this guy here is amazing, and his name is Mr. Tommy Ray Cole. Mr. Tommy Ray Cole, I am so glad that he went on and took this year over for me today, and I'm going to go ahead on, and I'm going to pass it on to him. Go ahead on, Mr. Tommy.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Louisiana Talk Show. Founded by Mr. John L. Brown, who is hosting this thing with me. I'd like to thank you all for tuning in, and hopefully we can get started and start nailing down some stuff there. You know, we're all about the community, the uplifting communities, and there are so many issues in the communities now, and we want to see if we can find the opinion of others and their thoughts, that we can come to some conclusions to where we can better all the communities around the nation. Thank you, John. Hey, I thank you for this opportunity as well. Thank you so much. This is my first time. Take it easy on.
Yeah. All right. Ain't no problem, Tommy. I mean, hey, man. The reason I reached out to you, Tommy, because for you to be the host for this show, is because you're doing so much positive work in Lake Charles, Louisiana. You know, you're so much of a nice person, man. You got a good heart, you know. And I'm proud of you, you know, to say that I'm from this little small town too, you know. And who's better, you know, to giving another person, you know, the opportunity to host a pretty nice little platform. We not that big, but, you know, one thing, we getting there, you know, and it's people from all over the United States know about the Uplifting Community Talk Show. And, you know, you've been a follower and a supporter of anything that the talk show does for many, many years. Now, I see, man, we got a board filled up with people. They calling in. I just want to let the audience know, if you guys want to participate in this right here in the talk show, please press 1, okay, and I can let you guys in, all right, and then y'all can say some whatever y'all want to say, okay, and I got somebody already to press 1. Oh, my God. But before we go any further, I promised a few people that I was going to do some shout-out for them. And one of them is D.W. Jazz Lover. He's from my hometown, Lake Charles. Miss Angelina Waller Dijon. She has an organization called Something for the Ladies. And also Mr. Tat Thomas. He's an artist. I wanted, you know, give a shout-out to him. I want to give a shout-out to Lakeisha Logan. She's from Lafayette, Louisiana. She's the lady that helped design the logo for the talk show, and also Mr. James Adams. I want to give a shout out for him. He does a lot of work, positive work in the communities. So I just wanted to do that. But so what we want to do, let's jump into this year, Uplifting Communities. Tommy, tell the audience what Uplifting Communities in your view is.
Uplifting Communities is it's bringing, in my view that is, it's bringing positive programs to the community that's going to embetterment the community, embetterment folk lives, give them an opportunity to reach the next level and to do good things themselves in the community. And on that thought, hey, I'd like to find out your thoughts, too, and your opinions on the, what can make the communities better, too, as well, John.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But, you know, it goes deeper than that. One thing that we, the people in the communities that don't go to our city council meetings, you know, and that's very important. A lot of times what happens, you know, we see something that's coming up in the communities. It could be on the next street. And we pass by there in our car, walking, and we say, well, I wonder what is that coming up? You know, they're building something right here. I don't even know what it is. And it's right there down the street from your community. You should know what it is. You should know.
That's right.
Because we have the authority to say what we want built in our communities or not. You know, we need to start reaching out more to the churches. The churches, you know, a lot of people talk about the churches and how it is and that and all this so crazy stuff, you know. But I look at it, the churches is the, in the communities is the only place that we can go and have a safe haven. You know, we can have a safe haven. And we only get that maybe, maybe once a week in some places or twice a week. You know, we need to start opening up the churches more for healing meetings. You know, there's a lot of people out there hurting, man. You know, and uplifting in your communities can mean a lot of things. And there's so many people doing so much positive work, you know, out there. But, you know, Tommy, we got a caller already, okay? And we only got a half an hour for this show. Let's start dialoguing, okay? I'm going to let him in. Okay. Okay, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello?
Yeah, state your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Keisha Barty, calling from Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, Keisha, how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have missed this invitation.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know my thing? Now, this is the lady right here on that just called in, and I know her. Now, that's a lady that's doing some positive work into the community.
Yes,
now.
She really is.
And I got to tell the audience, and I'm not just kidding, we got a board filled up. There's a lot of people that called in today. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you. But they called in, and I love it. And, Tommy, that shows right there that you got a lot of support and you got a lot of love, man. There's a lot of
love,
Lake Charles.
I love
you,
them,
man.
Too. I love them all, and I'm thankful for all of them. Thank you.
We are thankful for you, too, Uncle Tommy. We are so thankful to you and Mr. John. We are thankful that you have a platform where people can come on and talk about the things that concern them, that you guys are actually concerned of what's going on the ground in the community, with the people, with their homes, with their lives, with their spirituality, their minds, their hearts. It means a lot to us.
Okay, thank you, Keisha. Now, I want to ask you this, Keisha, and we know about your works, and I do, and I'm grateful, too, because you've done a great work. But now also, too, what is your thoughts on improving the communities now?
I believe that we have to start at home and on the streets themselves. We don't even know our neighbors anymore. We used to meet and greet our neighbors. Our children used to be able to play with each other. If our children got into altercations, we used to be able to talk it out and have the children to come to some type of resolve that they could live peacefully with each other. But with the adults bickering and fighting and not being able to come to understandings, it is filtering out into the streets with our children. And therefore, without the example of someone who will keep a cool head, we're experiencing more and more violent crimes, more and more thefts, more and more people disregarding each other's just, you know, respect.
That's right.
And
that's right.
That's a serious concern I have right now. Our children will be entering school again in the next coming weeks. And with all of these different things that has just happened in our community, these thefts, these robberies, these murders, this used to not be named in Lake Charles as prevalent as it is now. And I have come to the resolve that we have to pray, that we have to learn to communicate again, because communication is key to bringing some unity.
That's right. That's right.
That's right, Keisha. You're 100% right. You know, and I want to make it clear that it's not only in Lake Charles of all the violence and stuff. This is going on throughout the United States, man. And it was one gentleman, he and I was talking, and I was telling him, I said, well, look, man, it goes like this. I said, I'd lived in different states. Everywhere I've lived, it was in a hood. It was in the deep down ghetto of Oakland, Denver, Wyoming, Salt Lake City, Utah, California, wherever. You know, it deep down in the hood. Once you've been into one hood, it's like a McDonald's. You done been into all of them.
So
and no change. Because we have the same problems. All the hoods have the same. I'm talking about in the black communities. Well, I don't want to call the black communities the hood, because they got some really, really good home, nice homes out there. It's people try to take care of their property and stuff like that. But I'm talking about his mentality. It's the same thing and the same opportunities. There's school, you know, the school system is broken. No jobs, you know, drugs. You know, and different other things. There's people that are even passing away and don't even have insurance. So we got to, you know, we got to try to come up with something, you understand, to try to bury them. You know,
I mean,
there's a lot of stress out there. And I always tell people, for everybody that's listening, there's quite a few of you guys, there's a lot of work to do in our communities. Okay, a lot of work to do in our communities. And I guarantee you, that's all you have to do is pick one. And you can do it. And if you want to do it, just volunteer, fine. Or if you want to be successful, you can do it and be successful. And the reason for that is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. So to say that we don't have no work in the communities, that's false.
Very false.
Very false. You know.
Right. And I like to say
know,
this too.
But anyway, we got another caller. Let's y'all want to let him in? And we're gonna keep
let
you on the line, Keisha. We're gonna let him in. Okay.
All right.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Well, they pressed one. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Oh, well, I guess they got cold feeted. Yeah, okay, well, we got another caller. Let's let this caller in. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Is this me you got now?
Yeah, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, this is DW.
Hey, DW, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing just great, man. I'm just doing just great. I have the host is from Lake Charles, and I just did a shout out for you. Now, DW.
Yeah, I heard it.
Okay, right on. And DW, I wanted to let the audience know, DW, this brother right here is doing a lot of positive work in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And I'm talking about he's knowledgeable. And DW, you know, if you want to ask a question, ask a question. But I wanted to ask, ask you to let the audience know what you're doing in Lake Charles.
Well, right now I'm teaching Black History at the library. I've been at the Epps Library. I've been doing that for the last 2 years. I volunteer tutoring and mentoring at the elementary school third graders. Let's see. I'm working with the 150-year committee of Lake Charles for the history of Lake Charles, because they're including Black History this year. And there's a lot of work to be doing. Had an all-day meeting yesterday. But busy.
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, throw us a little bit of history about Lake Charles. I mean, I'm quite sure I would like to kind of
stick with the subject you guys started for a little while. The issue for me is everyone knows the problems, and I discovered this a long time ago as a director of nursing in a meeting, that everybody could discuss the problem. And I put a rule from then on: when you bring the problem, bring the solution. We are kind of problem oriented. We know the problem. Let's work on solutions. And that's going to take a lot of commitment, which I'm finding hard to get people together to commit to solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
if you look at our community, 50s and 60s, this was a very vibrant community. I was talking to someone today about that, and they were talking about the socioeconomics of this section of town. But you got to remember, at that time, we had a lot of businesses. We were a self-contained community at that time. So you had people working in the community. So a lot of the money stayed in the community. You had the restaurants, cafes, the bars, the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was over here. And so people
that's
that right. weren't going out working across the lake or working at jobs across town, they were actually working in the community. Everybody was basically employable.
Right.
We don't have that. So we need to, as a group, figure out a way to bring some of the social economic funding back to this part of town. And that calls
right.
for support of Black businesses. But if we're going to support Black businesses, we have to hold them to a certain standard as well.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're
right.
So that's
you're
kind of my thought today on the subject you are talking about today.
Yeah. I do believe in economic inclusion. And I do believe without money into the communities, we spin in our wheels. Because
true.
It takes money. Regardless, I mean, a lot of people might say, oh, well, you know, like we can go ahead on and pool our money together and do this and do that and do that. But no, we need the government help. I don't care what nobody say, you know, and that's economic inclusion. Because the government gives us our money. They give money. They give money. The money go from the government to the state to the cities, from the cities to the organizations within the cities. But the money, when the wheel is turning, the money is stopping somewhere.
True.
You know,
and we just
not,
need to investigate that and see what's happening. You know, that needs to be investigated.
Yes, sir. That's why it's so important to start going to these city council meetings.
Right,
like
I agree with
what,
you.
You know, to find out what's going on, because we got people building stuff into the communities, and. You know, the money's probably for the community. But we got another contractor going on, you know, is coming into the community when that contractor can be hiring people in a community to do that
right.
work. There's a lot of carpenters in a community. There's a lot of welders. There's a lot of people that can use a shovel and make that $12 an hour.
Well,
you
one
know?
Of the solutions to that. One of the solutions to that is, so whole neighborhoods can't go, or whole groups of people can't go. We can get neighborhood spokesmen, block spokesmen, one
yes,
person
sir.
That is available to go to that, and then bring the information back to the rest of us. We can stay up to what's going on.
Right.
And it's simple. It's a simple solution to that.
That's right.
Yeah,
you're
we can
right.
do that block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood, carpenter by carpenter, contractor by contractor. All of you don't have to go, but just form
mm-hmm.
your little groups and send one person and come back. This is what's going on. Then you stay in the know. Once you're in the know, you get power.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. John.
And that's mine. Yeah. That's mine. You can go to somebody else.
mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead, Keyshawn.
This is what I want to interject. When I was born in Sacramento, California, which was the crime capital of the United States, but I was also born into a community that was a ghetto barrio slum, middle class, where there was everybody there. And when I moved here to Louisiana, I moved here in 84, and one thing that I did encounter that I didn't know much of is the my four and no more mentality. To get a spokesperson from the community, we would have to really choose someone who does not just think of their four and no more, because they can go and get the information, but they will filter the information to whom they want to have it and not share it with the vast community, meaning that the support in our community is very poor. It's very poor. They don't like to support each other, which is very sad.
So how do we change that?
We get someone who does not have a respect of persons, per se, that would bring it to everyone and not just to some.
I can agree. That's basically what I'm saying, what I'm talking about right there. You got it.
You're right.
You broke it down a little bit better than me, but I like that.
Yeah.
The crime right. issue is what's bothering me a lot, because I'm looking at these are kids. You know,
some
at 16, 17, 18, and 19 years old, the world was in my eyes. I'm looking at these kids, and there's nothing in their eyes. So the ball is being dropped very early.
You're right, man. You know, that's funny you say that, but I be feeling the same way, man. You look in those kids' eyes, man, there's no sparkles at all.
Nothing.
You know, a lot of them. You know, it's like day, you know. And what happened to the days when, you know, you wanted to be a lawyer, or you wanted to be a carpenter, or you wanted to be a doctor? What happened to those days? I don't. Maybe y'all might see it. I mean, hear it. But I very seldom hear children, the kids, saying what they want to be. You know, what they want to do. You know, and the parents has a lot to do with that too.
True.
Well, the parents are so young. You know, the parents are so young as well.
Well, I can say that one of the children was a relative to my son, and the other child grew up next door to me for a while when I was in the first project apartment that I lived in. And to know both of these children, my son went to school with his cousin, and he really liked his cousin and everything, and for this child to wind up dead because of bad choices, it really hurts. Mm. And for another child that I know to be named, to actually be named at 16 years old in a manhunt for a murder, that is a very disheartening thing, because this child is very intelligent. This child is very, very low. I mean, he does not come from what you would call a bad family, but he did have some examples of ways of living that were not, you know, conducive to somebody being productive. There were some things that he did see coming up. You know, sometimes we as parents can be discouraged at a point when it is pivotal in our children to learn, you know, to learn behavior. So,
right.
And sometimes the children are left to figure things out, you know, what, you know, the gray area of right and wrong. And it's hard to say that, oh, it's just bad parenting, because we also have children that are being reared around other children who are not being taught anything at all. So therefore, the influences, you know, the absentee parents, the parents that are so stressed out because they're having to work instead of stay home with their children, the children with the grandparents, and, you know, all of these different things play a factor. And I also said years ago, when you invite the casinos in, you are asking the big city problems to come with it eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because there
That's
are
right.
other things that have come to this community that were not here in 84 when I got here. There's a lot of contention. There's a lot of distress. There's a lot of strife. I mean, people can't even tell each other's children right from wrong anymore.
That's a major change. That's a major change.
The yes, ma'am, the no, ma'am. I was taught to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am when I was brought here, because in California, it's yes and no with a respectful tone. So knowing these things, we may be drops in the bucket, but we do make a spill. So therefore, we still have to do what it is we know to do and reach those who will allow us to.
Okay.
You know, I'm old enough to remember. Go ahead.
What I was going to do is going to ask Tommy what he think. Yeah, he's the host. I wanted to ask him what he think about all this, because we only got about 4 minutes left, and then that's it. Tommy. So what you think about everything they're talking about? You the host.
Well,
I don't mean to take it over from you, but
everything they're saying. Hey, it's true. You know, you have to find folks that are going to be honest and bring information back if they're going to go to the council meeting, that everybody be aware of what's going on in the community. Now, also, too, and you guys all make great points, you know, but I believe that, you know, everything starts at home, you know, and when you're at home, you know, the first thing that we must include is God, man, you know. God has been taken away from us because of certain things running through the communities, through the cities and stuff, and we've forgotten about God. You know, if you recall this scripture, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, if we start seeking those things, then, you know, God tells us right there that he's going to add all these things to us. You know, hey, clothing, food, shelter, finances, and all that, and he will. And we just are taking away our trust from him because we're so fast to roll on with what's going on in the communities and trying to support families. But man, we really need to bring God back into the picture. And the kids, our children, see, they need it. You know, when you go out there and you just take somebody's life, you don't have God in your heart to stop you or to bring you to that point to where you're going to think about things first. You know, when you just go up there and shoot somebody, man, what have you been taught?
Yeah.
You see, so I believe, you know, if we get the law back into the picture and start working these things out, and I think we can start taking those next steps to better.
Right, Tommy. I totally agree with you. I just want to let the audience know this here. On Sundays, we do have another talk show on Sundays. We, myself and Ms. J, we be on. And once a month, what we're going to be doing, probably when I come back from my hometown, Lake Charles, Louisiana, once a month we're going to be what you just said about bringing God back into the communities. Well, once a month, we're going to be inviting maybe a minister or someone to speak on that, you know, because, you know, I think, you know, we need that. But anyway, we only got about a minute and 20 seconds left on the show, so I'm going to ask Tommy to start closing this out.
Yes. First of all, hey, I'd like to give some shout-outs to Josh Babineau, Asa Washington, Alicia Harmon, and my wife, Patricia. Now, they all grandmothers, but, boy, they really take care of their grandchildren. And I really want to encourage them because they're doing a great work. And Keisha, you're doing a marvelous job, too. And I really want to shout out to the Broken Trust group as well. You know, I don't know if everybody's on, but hello. And with that said, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And when you go out in the neighborhood, encourage folks. Encourage them. Show love that they may see love and they return love. And with that being said, John, we turn it back over to you.
All right. With that said, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. And y'all enjoy the rest of y'all afternoon. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.